this morning is from the book of Luke. Listen to what the Spirit is saying. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord says, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Our thanks to Brooke for reading scripture this morning. It's delightful to hear our children lead us in worship, and of course to our choir, which always ministers to us so well through the ministry of music. I've been wondering, so I decided just to ask, how many of you work for organizations that have been affected by the shutdown? Would you be willing to raise your hand and leave them up for just a minute so that we might look around? Strange times. One of our foundry, really outstanding small group leaders, has begun a small group on Thursday mornings for people affected by the shutdown, just to get together to talk and for support. I found in my life when I'm going through strange experiences, having other people to talk about it with has been helpful. It's Amy Tatsumi, and her email address is in the bulletin. I'd like to encourage anyone who's experiencing some of the strangeness of the times to consider joining the group. I'm especially concerned because the shutdown is now impacting some of our nation and especially our city's most vulnerable people. An article in the Washington Post this week said that the Latin American Youth Center up in Columbia Heights, which does such amazing work with youth who are at risk and homeless, as well as the Sasha Bruce Youth Works over in Northeast, actually at the edge of Capitol Hill, that both of those youth organizations who work with homeless and at-risk youth have had to furlough over half their staffs. And they are down to the very most basic of emergency services. All sorts of services that are dependent upon federal and city money are experiencing crisis. This week we heard about one crisis as a result of the shutdown that we felt we just had to do something about. One of our members informed us that DC Safe's funding ended last Tuesday. DC Safe operates the only shelter that services and provides immediate aid to victims of domestic violence 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Their funding ended. They ran out of money on Tuesday. So Ben Roberts, our interim director of social justice ministries, talked to DC Safe leadership this week, and Foundry made a contribution to keep it open a few more days, a contribution of $2,500. The money came from the Christmas Catalog Greatest Need Fund and from the Senior Pastor's Discretionary Fund. So for those of you who contributed through the Christmas Catalog to the Greatest Need Fund or who have contributed to the Senior Pastor's Discretionary Fund, we thank you very much that we had a few resources available to help in a situation that we thought was intolerable, which is the possibility that An abused person would not be able to find help at any time of day or night. We wish that we could help more organizations. We're grateful for the resources we have had available because of your generosity. Let's take a moment for prayer. Be aware of the person sitting on each side of you and bow your heads. Let's take a moment to pray individually for the person to your left, that whatever situation in life they are facing, that they may be open to the movement of God's Spirit in their life this week. Be aware that someone to your right is praying for you. And now pray for the person on your right, that they may be open to God's comfort and challenge this week. And pray for yourself that the Spirit of God may be able to break through the walls we built and penetrate into our hearts during our lives this week. If you prayed for someone, if you've had the opportunity to pray for someone next to you that you do not know personally, be sure to greet them after worship and shake their hand. Amen. Would one of the choir members lend me your bulletin? Oh, thank you, Dawn. So right now, last month and this month, we're studying Foundry's core values. During the past year, our board has had a number of listening sessions and conversations, especially including last year's Leaders' Day. And after listening to a number of Foundry small group leaders, ministry team leaders, formulated a statement of 8 core values. You'll find it in the back of your bulletin on the very last page if you would open your bulletin and turn to it. We have Sunday by Sunday been working our way through these core values, and today we are at the third from the end. The one that has to do with the work of prophecy. So I would like to ask you to read this one with me. We welcome the hard work of prophecy. Our close proximity to power gives us a chance to speak for the powerless. We are mindful that prophets examine themselves closely before sharing their message with the world. Followers of Jesus, people of faith, do 2 kinds of ministry to address the needs of the world around us. One we call ministries of mercy. In Foundry's statement of call, we call this active service. Ministries that actively serve people in need in practical and often personal ways. Sandwich 1000, our walk-in mission, our wonderful English as a second language classes, our cooking ministry, our service at Christ House and N Street Village are wonderful examples of ministries of mercy. One of the great things about ministries of mercy is that they bring us often in personal relationship with the poor and vulnerable, and thus are a source of great spiritual growth for us. Because when we come into relationship with the poor and vulnerable, we come into relationship with Christ, who is poor and vulnerable, and who dwells in the poor and vulnerable places inside of us. We are also called to ministries of justice. Ministries of justice are what Foundry's statement of call calls prophetic leadership. We are called to prophetically change the world. For many years, Foundry provided low-key ministries of welcome and mercy to the LGBTQ community here in DuPont Circle and in our area. We had LGBTQ potlucks, social gatherings, sort of low-key. But for more gay people than you would guess, coming to one of the Foundry potlucks was an important part of their coming out experience. We had and have LGBTQ Bible studies and retreats, all of which have been ministries of welcome and mercy. But Foundry also has an LGBTQ advocacy ministry. People who are working strategically on behalf of Foundry to end discrimination against gay people in the United Methodist Church and in society in general. This is a ministry of justice. This is a ministry of prophetic leadership to make change in the world. Foundry has ministries of caring and mercy toward the homeless, but it also has a ministry to end homelessness, to end chronic homelessness. The focus is on a just society in which no one remains homeless. The ministry of advocating for the end of chronic homelessness is a ministry where the focus is on justice and prophetic change. It's like the old metaphor of the highway that had a place along the road where there were so many accidents that the ambulance became expert in getting there as quickly as possible to get victims of accidents to the emergency room as fast as they could, until someone said, why don't we get some engineers to study why all these accidents are happening at this particular place and change the road so accidents are less likely to happen. As followers of Jesus, we are called to both ministries of mercy and to ministries of justice. We've been working very hard here at Foundry over the last decade to say that in every area where we have a ministry of mercy that attends to people's needs personally, we also want to have a ministry of justice that attempts to change the world, to change what in the world is causing people to need our ministries of mercy, both ministries of mercy and ministries of justice, both active service and prophetic leadership. As followers of Jesus, we are called to both because Jesus was about both. As people who are part of the Methodist movement, we are called to both active service and prophetic leadership because that was at the heart of Methodism's beginning. The first building Methodist ever owned was a former warehouse for cannons and gunpowder in London. They had had an explosion and the building had set empty for a very, very long time. And so the Methodists were able to get it cheap, which Methodists have liked to do historically. And they patched up the building as best as they could, and they used it for worship services and Bible studies, but they also developed hands-on programs in the building to serve the poor. Richard Heitzenrader, a Methodist historian, says that they developed five kinds of ministries in the first Foundry. One was food, clothing, and shelter for the most destitute, those who were not able to physically work. Second was materials and startup money to help people start their own small businesses. One of the first micro lending institutions, which provided tools and money so that people could learn trades like knife sharpening or shoe repair and start their own businesses. Schools for the children of the poor. Literacy programs for those who did not have access to education to learn to read and write as youth or children. And fifth, free medical clinics for those without access to health care. I am fascinated by how similar many of the ministries of mercy that happen here at Foundry are to the ones that happened at the first Foundry. I want to tell you, I want to tell you a sort of secret. I'm trying to see how many of my board members, of our board members I see. One of the things that our board sometimes worries about at board meetings is that maybe we here at Foundry take too many special offerings. They are afraid that you will suffer from donor fatigue, so you should know this. John Wesley, Methodism's founder, at the first Foundry, once took 7 offerings in one weekend to support ministries for the poor. His brother Charles wrote a letter to a friend of his complaining about it. He wrote, "How many collections think you has my brother made between Thursday evening and Sunday? No fewer than 7. 5 this one day of the same poor, exhausted people. He has no mercy on them." Charles goes on in his letter to suggest that if John doesn't stop taking so many offerings for the poor, someone is going to have to take a collection to help the members of the Foundry who will have no money left. Ministries of mercy were at the heart of Methodism's beginnings at the first Foundry. And so were ministries of justice, ministries of prophetic leadership. John Wesley had a particular passion for prison reform. He was loud and vocal and pushy about it. He visited in prisons every week of his life, just about into his 70s. And he was appalled at the qualities of the prisons throughout England and Ireland, and he wrote op-eds about it, and he campaigned to change the condition of prisons in England and Ireland during his time. John Wesley was famous for his opposition to gin. And, you know, people have always assumed it was because he was a bit of a party pooper. But if you read the history of John Wesley's opposition to gin, much of his opposition, it turns out, was not solely based on the addiction he discovered among the poor. One of his main arguments against government support of gin distilling, Garrett, one of his main arguments against what he felt was government support of gin distilling was that it increased the price of grains and made bread very expensive, causing hunger among the poor who could not afford bread because all the wheat was being used to make gin. He was a fierce proponent on behalf of job creation. One of the reasons, after a while, he was not allowed to preach in Anglican churches anymore is because he irritated the most affluent people in the Anglican churches by stating over and over again that people with wealth ought not to be using their wealth to live leisurely and luxurious lives. They ought to be using their wealth to create jobs. That if you were gifted to have some wealth, you shouldn't be enjoying it. You should be using it to create businesses and to invest in businesses that would employ people. So Methodism began with ministries of active service and mercy and ministries of prophetic leadership and justice. For me, the biblical hero of prophetic leadership is the widow Jesus talks about in Luke 18. I love this widow. In Jesus' time, widows were the people in all of society with the very least power. Number one, they were women, and women in Jesus' time had no power. And number two, they no longer had a husband, so that there was no man around the house who could advocate for them or for their concerns. So this widow in Luke 18 was someone who had the least power of anyone in the society of the time. The judge whom the widow was trying to influence was not a good person. Jesus said he did not fear God, nor did he respect people. But the powerless widow just kept bothering him until he acted justly, not because he was committed to justice, but because he knew she would not leave him alone day or night until he did what was right. The widow of Luke 18 was a heroine of community organizing before community organizing had been invented. We seem stuck these days. Capitol Hill seems stuck. Leaders seem to be having a hard time leading. I don't know who among our leaders fears God and respects people and who doesn't. But I don't believe justice happens in our world because leaders fear God and respect people. I believe justice happens because people like the widow of Luke 18 pound away at it day in and day out. When people keep doing the hard work of prophetic leadership, even bad leaders who don't fear God or respect people cannot ignore it forever. Prophetic leadership is like prayer. The moral of Jesus' parable is that we should be persistent in prayer. If the widow of Luke 18 was able to get justice from a bad judge because she was persistent, how much more likely will we, if we pray persistently, get justice from a good God? Next year, when Foundry celebrates our 200th anniversary, it will also be the 25th anniversary of the collapse of the Berlin Wall on November 9, 1987. A lot of political leaders have taken credit for the collapse of the Berlin Wall, but I have a Lutheran pastor friend who tells me this is what happened. That the collapse of the wall did not really happen because of political leaders. It happened, he tells me, because of people like the widow of Luke 18 who worked and prayed for years for the wall to come down. He says it started in the early 1980s, years before the wall came down. He says it started in St. Nicholas Church of Leipzig, East Germany. A small group of people at the church started a Monday evening prayer service for peace and the reunification of their nation. The prayer meeting started quite small, just a handful of people. And then it began to grow and nothing changed and people drifted away and it was a small group again. And then it grew larger, and then it grew smaller, and it went on year after year, Monday after Monday, year after year. And then in 1988, he says, attendance began to grow dramatically. Attendance grew so high that East German officials began to worry. They posted roadblocks and detained people to try to prevent them from going to the services. But they came anyway, more and more of them every Monday. Finally, on October 8, 1989, the secret police were preparing to shoot people in order to stop people from assembling for that prayer service. That very night, the church was packed with more than 2,000 people. and another 70,000 were on the streets outside. The crowds left the church. They marched towards City Hall, where an armed guard was waiting for them. The troops never opened fire. They retreated inside City Hall, and they watched as the marchers placed their candles on the steps of City Hall and stood there in a silent vigil, a prayer for peace and reunification of their nation. According to my Lutheran friend, the commander of those troops who had been ordered to do whatever they needed to do to dispel the crowd stared out the window of City Hall at the crowd, and he was heard to say, "We planned for everything. We prepared for everything except for candles and prayers." On November 9, less than a month later, 1989, history shifted and the wall came down because of a small group of people who had begun praying persistently and prophetically years earlier at St. Nicholas Church. Even politicians who do not fear God or respect people will do what is right and just, not out of the goodness of their hearts, but because of persistent prophetic leaders like the widow of Luke 18. I want to highlight the two prophetic leadership ministry teams that I mentioned earlier. Our LGBT advocacy team, which is working very hard to change our denomination's discrimination against gay and lesbian people. We have a trial coming up in Pennsylvania in November against a pastor who performed the same-sex marriage of his son. This is a particular intense time that calls forth prophetic leadership from us. Do we have any members of our LGBT advocacy team in worship this morning? I'd like to ask you to stand so people can see who you are and can ask you questions after the service. If you're a part of the team, would you stand up? So look at these people. Find them after the worship service. If you feel called as this being part of your pathway to grow as a disciple, please find one of these people and find out how you can become involved after worship. And then do we have members of our Ending Chronic Homelessness Ministry team present? I know they have a table upstairs. Monte, are there others? Joanne Garlow, Leo. Joanne Garlow is upstairs at the table so that you can talk to her. Perhaps, in addition to the ministry of mercy to which we are called, perhaps you in your life are called to grow as a follower of Jesus by engaging in prophetic leadership, the ministry of justice. Open your heart to God's call.